RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This is Hurricane Hotline on FM 1043 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hey, very good evening and welcome to another edition of Hurricane Hotline. I'm Hollywood and a pleasure to have you aboard here, Canes fans, as Miami getting set to take on Texas A&M in the playoff a week from Saturday. Joe Zagacki had a chance to sit down with the head coach, Mario Cristobal, as he gets his team ready for their first playoff appearance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal, and the Canes are in. The University of Miami, for the first time, going to the college football playoff, a 10-2 record. Miami is in, and on December the 20th, we'll take on Texas A&M in College Station. Coach, congratulations.
Well, congratulations to you guys, to all of Miami Hurricane Nation, so many of us out there that have supported the program, right, and been waiting for this opportunity. So let's get to work.
Coach, you came to University of Miami with a blueprint, and you turned it into the real print. I mean, this is really what has happened. Go through the journey a little bit about from year one through now and some of the highlights and things that have led to this success.
Well, I mean, I remember taking a plane ride over here, like for good, like we're doing this. We got the call, the lifelong dream. And it goes from a lot of excitement to, watching film on an iPad and going, buckle up, because there's going to be some really painful steps that we're not going to be able to skip. And that's always the hardest part. But, it's like our belief, our love for the University of Miami. I mean, it's, what it is. It's like all of us. You cut us open, we bleed it. But just so many people, I get to speak, but there's so many people that have invested their entire existence into talent acquisition, strength and conditioning, nutrition, training, academics, development. You guys, the way you, it would take hours to go through the whole thing. But one thing that was, very consistent was the progress all the way through some brutal moments, through some really trying times. But like, we have the type of people that outside noise is never part of the equation. The equation all rests inside the walls, right? And inside our minds and inside of our hearts. So it's another sign of progress to get to this point, but we've quickly turned that excitement about getting into, all right, now let's go emphasize our 1-0 processes.
You read my mind. We've worked together too long, because what I was thinking of is I remember watching you at Oregon when you won the Rose Bowl, and I'll paraphrase, but I think I'm right. You said something to the effect of, as you held the trophy, we went from 5-7 to 6-5 to 8-5 to Rose Bowl champions. and you've had a similar progression here. Actually, I've been waiting for that speech. Now it's going to be a little bit different because you have a bowl, not a bowl game anymore. It's a playoff game, but the progression, very similar.
You know, and it's always that, because if you want to build it to be sustainable, you have to layer it the right way. And, you know, if you microwave it, you know, that thing might explode the following year and then for multiple seasons. And the whole thing here is to make sure Miami achieves what it's known for, to once again become one of the most and the prominent program in the country. And there's still a long way to go, but to be able to sustain that year after year. And that's the challenge. And that's why, again, we're lucky to have awesome people that pour their heart and soul into this thing.
And one group that pours their heart and soul in is your players. And the group that comes in, and you just had 19 all ACC players that were just announced. It's a record here for the University of Miami. Talk about that and what those guys have poured into it.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for a more dedicated, committed group, a group that there's so much fun to be around. You watch them practice every day. There's energy out there. And then as a coach, you don't want to let them down. And you're not going to let them down, you know, in terms of your effort and what you provide them with to be successful. But you always want to grant them the opportunity to keep playing, you know, to keep playing significant football. And, you know, the fact that they get to be the ones to take Miami into this next step for the first time in school history, I know it means the world to them. I mean, you could feel it. I mean, they already are naturally very upbeat, energetic, high urgency guys. And what you feel is now another level of that. So really excited about the way we're going to be practicing.
I think one of the great things about this season is you finished the season. The season wasn't over at the end of October. Hit a few speed bumps, and I call it the season of endurance. Your team was able to endure a lot of different things, whether it was the obstacles in the road, overcame two losses, injuries, all the noise about the rankings. Your team fought through all of that, and every single week in the final month of the season got better. Every game, you topped the previous game.
We talked about having an epic November, you know, we did. And they exercised one of the most powerful things that we all have as human beings, and that's the power of choice. They chose to crank up that energy. They chose to bring elite levels of effort to practice and preparation. They chose to be physical and to up the level of technique and fundamentals and execution. And when you do that, you're able to cut it loose that much better come game time.
And Coach, you look at this season and take the last month that we're talking about, the blend of the Reuben Baines and the Mezzadores, but also the true freshmen that have come in, not at the beginning of the season like Malachi, but towards the end of the season, and how everybody just kept getting elevated and elevated and elevated every week.
No doubt. The rep counts kept increasing. The level of play kept increasing. Their production, you know, that's a part that really excites you. These guys are now, they're game tested. They played significant downs and very important situations throughout the season, especially on the back end. So, you know, the goal is once you get to November, I mean, that's like rounds 11 through 15, man, right? Mm-hmm. Separating the men from the boys. And our guys showed up big. They showed up strong. And, you know, we feel that in this month and now heading into the next month that we're playing our best football. And there's nobody's content in that. They know that we've left a lot of points and a lot of stops on the table. So we just want to go back on that field and get better and prepare.
Coach, how proud are you of the fact that this was, over the last month of the season, a team effort, that the team took care of each other? It could have been a JoJo Trader one-handed catch on third down, maybe Poyser scooping up a fumble against Virginia Tech, Moten setting the tone against Pittsburgh with a sack. Just seemed like whatever the opportunity was there, didn't matter who it was, somebody was making a play.
The levels of trust just increased, right? Because if you play within the system, the plays will come to you. If you're just focused on trying to make a play and get out of the system, well, that's when you're going to get punched right in the mouth. And I think when these guys, they want to win so badly, they want to do right by each other, that when you truly trust the system and just do your job, nobody else's job, just do your job, good things happen. Our guys learned that. And I thought maybe the best part was we had a lot of fun playing ball. You know, when we watch our guys playing, the level of intensity is up there, but the level of just them having fun was really, it was awesome to watch.
big part of coaching is having to adapt. And you had to adapt, it seems really in September, you had to adapt, and then October, and now, of course, November, and now you go into the playoffs. But the young men on how they have bought into different roles at different times and bringing in younger players or older players to fill in the gaps on the injuries.
No doubts. I mean, adapting was key. I mean, the front part of the schedule was big, massive teams, right? Kind of knock you back off the ball type of football, wad ball, like to say, everybody packed up in there. And then in the middle, it was a combination, right? There was a little bit of the space game. There were some athletic quarterbacks to defend. There were some really good defensive lines and DBs to beat. And then at the end, it was, again, a combination of everything. And road games up north, which was always something that, you know, I think, you know, Miami had a bad rap for them. We were determined or not. That's not going to be a bad rap. We're going to kill the narratives. That's what we're going to do. And so credit to the coaches, too, because you know what? They went in there and as a staff decided, you know what? When you hit something like we hit in the middle of the season, I mean, the whole world's trying to tear you down outside, right? We have to be our players' biggest supporters. We have to be their biggest fans. We have to be their home, right? The people they trust the most. And I think everybody bought into the simple concept of let's just focus on us and let's just get better, right? Let's just lift each other up. Let's work as hard and harder than we've ever worked before, but let's get better.
The performances in November, the numbers were staggering. The NC State game, they don't cross the 50-yard line until 5 minutes to go. At one point, you had 500 yards. They didn't even have 100. But the Pittsburgh game, that was a demolition derby as well. I think it was a 31 straight points that were unanswered. At one point, they didn't touch the ball for like an hour in real time. But that was about as dominating performance as you could have to finish the season.
And credit Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a really good football team, you know, and they showed it throughout the year and certainly appreciate the opportunity to play them up there. Obviously, you know, I'm a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so it was really neat to go up there and play. But they did a great job taking care of that field for the game. It was a great track, and really happy to see our guys come out and play, you know, one of our best games of the year.
Also, in all of this, you had a little signing day as well. And
just a little one.
Just 30.
Yeah, just 30 new bodies, you know, coming this way.
Let's pick up on a couple things. One, you've won 10 games back-to-back seasons, and my spiel has always been when you win 10, something you're playing for something. This year you win 10, you're playing for a championship going to the playoff. And then same would apply to stacking recruiting classes, I would imagine.
Yeah, we signed 30 players, probably our deepest and most talented class. We hit just about every part of the country as well, and the player of the year, and I think three or four states as well. So length, size, speed, work ethic, character, the right type of DNA. I mean, and all kind of shapes and sizes and ethnicities, they're coming to Miami. These guys are really, they're an elite, elite class, top 10, and really top 5-6 as it relates to, you know, by player rating. But on our board, they were the top of the top. So for us, it's always going to be the top class, but overall, it's viewed as a top 5, top 6 class. And they're eager to get here. I wish they could practice with us. There's some things that, you know, we're trying to work out there. But 29 of the 30 will actually be here in January. That's awesome. And again, we have the portal coming up as well. You know, hopefully more gains than losses. You know, you never can't predict how that's going to go. But I think Miami is really establishes itself as a place where people want to be at from every standpoint, football wise, academically, from, you know, the type of life you can have down here. It's only one Miami.
Coach, you have done a great job of keeping the tradition of South Florida players and keeping their attraction to Miami, but you've also realized you've got to go wherever the great players are, whether it's California or Connecticut, it doesn't matter, Ohio, wherever they are. How, when you leave the state of Florida, are the players so, why are they so receptive to this program?
I think they watch us play, you know, they watch us play. And I think this is a big thing. You know, I was born in 1970, okay? So in my generation, if you ask someone if they've been to Miami, they're going to say Miami Vice, Scarface, right? So whenever, you know, these players are very interested, and you know how recruiting is. You know, people out there, they know if a family comes to Miami and Coral Gables, they're going to fall in love with it. How can you not, right? So they always try to fill the heads, you know, these competitors, they try to fill the heads of these parents. Oh, no, it's my, you know Antonio Montana's down there, you know, it's... It's, you know, Scarface and all that stuff. But, no, Sonny Crockett and Ricardo Tubbs, you know, aren't actively chasing all kinds of people around town. down here, when people come and visit us, we ask two things. Number one, come down and watch us practice because we roll. We're very physical. We get after it. And you have to want to be in that type of an environment to be a tough, physical, count on you type of player. So that's one. But two, to come down here and for yourself, just drive around our campus, our neighborhoods, the city, and see what an unbelievable place Miami is, so that they can feel completely at rest as to you know, the negative recruiting that people try to throw at us. It's what it is. It's negative, you know, garbage.
The importance that you put now on the senior year, you know, the reports come out on these players, ninth grade, 10th grade, what they are, but you have figured out a way to just trust your process in evaluating through their whole senior year.
Senior year it's as critical as anything else. And it could be positive or it could go the other way as well. Football is the ultimate developmental sport. And in the words of the famous Arthur Francis Kehoe, okay, recruiting is the most unpredictable science on the face of the earth. You never know which guy's going to take off and crush it. And you don't know what high-level guys just, for whatever reason, whether it be here, just kind of go the other way. So you really want to do as much homework as you can, as deep into their competitive playing seasons as you can. And so many of our signees have become the player of the year in their states, have become the biggest risers in all the rankings. And we stay with those guys all the way through. And we're very honest. We want to watch you play. We want to challenge you to play and to your very best. And we have signed some guys that have played incredible. And we're not bothered by being confronted and being told, hey, we want to see what you're going to do your senior year. They make up a very large part of this class. I cannot wait to have them here on campus.
That's your head coach, Mario Cristobal, here with Joe Zagacki as we get set for Miami and Texas A&M. We'll have more to come with Coach Cristobal here on Hurricane Hotline after this.
The holidays are here, and you know what that means. You want to spend time with family. And where else will you find a better family, better customer service when you start your holiday shopping for cars than Williamson Cadillac? Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, they've been doing this for 50 years, and they know how important the holidays are. They're going to welcome you with open arms to make sure your holiday shopping is done without any kind of hassle. Stop by, see Jermaine, ask for Reggie. That's the team down there, Williamson. They'll take care of you no matter what. They're more than a dealership. They're our friends, they're our neighbors, they're our family. That's why Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. And certainly during the holidays, they want the customer experience to be just perfect. So head in to Williamson Cadillac, easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can also go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com and check out all of the inventory, the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the new all-electric Lyriq, all in stock, all arriving every single day. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle? You want to get the most out of the holiday experience? Experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Okay, on December 20th, it's Miami and Texas A&M. Kyle Field, College Station, Texas. 12 o'clock kickoff, 11 a.m. their time. Texas A&M ranked in the top five much of the year until the final game of the season, but a very, very worthy opponent and with a great home stadium.
It's one of the best teams in the country. You know, like you mentioned, they were top five. They were up to number two, I believe, at some point in time, and rightfully so. They're the most talented team that we have played against. They are fast, big, explosive, have a ton of length. They're coached extremely well. Their systems are really, really challenging. A Heisman Trophy player, you know, caliber player at quarterback. A massive athletic and powerful offensive line, physical, fast, stretch the field tight ends that can knock you back as well, and explosive speed at wide receiver. And their defense mirrors that as well. Really big and powerful up front, lead the country in sacks, tackles for losses. Linebackers, big and physical guys, knockback tacklers. The secondary, they could play a man all day if they want to, or they could play zone and come down and run the alley and strike you at safety. They are just a really talented, well-coached bunch and certainly looking forward to the opportunity.
Coach, let's spend time on the quarterback. He does a great job with his feet as well as his arm. He's got over close to 600 yards rushing and has done a great job through the whole season. How do you contain a guy like that?
Nobody has at this point. You know, they try to collapse a pocket. They try to make sure that they don't lose contain, and he does find ways out of there. And a big part of it is because the offensive line holds up really, really well. You know, you don't see guys getting beat. You don't see guys coming off of blocks, and you don't see guys quitting on blocks. You see a very well-coached, physical, tough, and high-effort offensive line, and they're massive. They take up a lot of space, and certainly Marcel Reed has an incredible feel for. He's got great pocket presence and a tremendous grasp of that offense. So he finds space and he finds time, and he can hurt you both ways with his feet, but certainly he keeps his eyes down the field. He's made some tremendous plays all year.
Casey Concepcion is a guy we saw a couple years ago from North Carolina State. 57 catches, really a dynamic player.
And another one on special teams and on offense, both. A guy that 0 to 60 and, I mean, blinding speed. But more importantly, that blinding acceleration, right? Can really just hit the gas and run right by you. Also, people don't give him enough credit for being physical. Physical blocker, physical with the ball in his hands. They do a great job with ball security. Just a team that is extremely well-balanced, really not any weaknesses.
Go to their defensive line. We've looked at them a little bit, Coach. They've got great size, especially on the inside, but they're also athletic on the perimeter.
They are, and they knock you back. They control the line of scrimmage. They put you in very difficult down and distance situations. They're very exotic on third down, right? Very challenging. They try to really mess with your IDs to put the quarterback and those offensive linemen in a pinch and bring pressure, bring heat from everywhere. And they've knocked quarterbacks, you know, into next week with the way that they bring it and their physicality when they're chasing down quarterbacks, ball carriers, and whatnot. So really impressive group.
I was going to say, Coach Elko calls his defense. We've seen him a couple of times when he was at Notre Dame, then at Duke, now at Texas A&M, and the crown jewel has always been his third down defense. How important is early execution, if you're early down execution for your offense?
Well, I mean, offense efficiency on first and second down is a key to, you know, being more successful on third down. But you know what they do? They do a great job on honing in on your tendencies, and they get you in those long down and distance situations. So offensively, anyone that has a chance to play them has tried that. Not many have had success, so certainly a focal point.
Coach, you go into this ball game, and it's not a bowl game. That's the clear thing. It's game number 13, but it is game number 13. It's not a bowl game. There's not gifts and prizes and dinners and banquets. This is a pure business trip.
Absolutely. This is not a reward. This is not a bowl game. This is game number 13. And we've earned this opportunity, and certainly just excited to get to work. You know, I think you know us. We don't say much. We won't say much during the week. We know the tremendous opportunity. We know that we have a great football team that we're playing against. We just got to go to work and prepare, put the focus on us and our opponent, and make sure that we do our absolute best for the next 11, 12 days.
The turnover takeaway battle in this game, very important. I don't know that you get enough credit for the way you protected the ball this season, less than a turnover a game this year. So that's going to be huge. You've done a good job protecting the ball. They're a little bit upside down in terms of the takeaways, so that could be a big part of this game, right?
It is, and you know, and by the time we get to that game, we wouldn't have played for 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, it'll be the first game in 3 weeks. So what you do in practice over the course of the next couple weeks is critical as it relates to ball security and ball disruption, right? You know, pre and post snap discipline as well, being that you're on the road. All the things that we all know are critically important, they have to be hammered and they have to be executed.
Coach, you bring up the 3 weeks. How do you prepare the team in the sense that it's almost a training camp before but start and 3 weeks later is your first game? Well, now it's 3 weeks later and it's game 13. How do you approach that?
Well, I think what you do is, number one, after that last game, being that we had last week or this, we didn't have a game this past Saturday, is, yeah, you recover the bodies, but it's strength and conditioning, because you want to be a weight room strong team in November, December. You have to be. I mean, to me, the weight room and your levels of fitness have to be at the top of the priority list. And I remember in a brief meeting, one of the best days I've ever had since coming back, a brief meeting, an opportunity to meet with Coach Riley, Pat Riley, who to me is, man, and I'm an old school Laker fan, that if anything he could drive through to me was, and they have the best culture, right, Hall of Basketball, was make sure your team is always in elite shape. Mm-hmm. Make sure they're in elite shape, right? Can never allow fatigue to take over. So that was a big part of last week, as well as working technique, fundamentals. And now this week we transition back to essentially 2 weeks worth of game week. You know, treat this Saturday like a game and practice through it, and practice Saturday like it's a game, right? You take a little bit off the body, but you're making sure that your next week's practices aren't such a spike where your bodies take a hit. You know, we're already in really good shape. I think we maintained and actually improved those levels a little bit last week. Let's now roll right into just playing football, and let's make sure we play football for 2 weeks before we get up there.
And this is two teams that kind of look similar. You're big in the trenches, and they're big in the trenches.
Yeah, they're the most talented team we faced. You know, there's a reason they were undefeated up until that last game, and certainly, again, you know, some of these games could go either way, but they could very easily be 12-0, and in their victories, they've been dominant just about all of them. So, again, very talented team, a lot of credit, a lot of respect for them.
A lot of conversation is going to be about going in front of 102,000 or 110,000 and going into that environment. Fortunately for you, you were there a few years ago with the University of Miami, but have been there three or four times in your career. How do you prepare for that?
Well, it's an honor to be in this situation, and certainly give them credit for an incredible atmosphere and environment, and you prepare. You know, that's the only way to put it. I don't think it's nothing can actually duplicate that, so, but prepare.
Before we let you go, just the broad view of your program again. Back-to-back 10-win seasons, playoff game coming up. You've got this thing trending very much in the right direction.
Well, you know, I like to think of it as our program, all of us. You know, like, we all invest our lives in this thing. And yeah, it's progress. I mean, we're getting better. We're nowhere near content. Like, we, you know, our goals is, you know, beyond the galaxies, man. And we want to roll. We want to get to work. We want to go. We're handling every and all media opportunity we can early now, so we could just kind of get back in the submarine and go under and do our work. But it's exciting, because a lot of work had to be done to, so to speak, get the plane off the ground, and the trajectory is that way, and nothing's going to stop it. So we're really appreciative of all the people, all the men and women, you know, behind the scenes that just absolutely bust their, you know, their backs to make sure that the University of Miami football program has an opportunity to continue to elevate.
Well, congratulations. As we saw, I mean, listen, this is a new era of college football that the University of Miami is now a part of. One of the great brands in the history of college football is going to be center stage. And as we saw, this thing's not easy to get into. 12 teams get into this deal, and so it's hard.
It is. It is. And, you know, that's getting in is really, really exciting. But once that is established, once that's done, the focus quickly turns to, you know, what we do, our processes.
All right. Congratulations. Best of luck against the Aggies.
Thank you. And go King.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
All right, welcome back here to Hurricane Hotline. And kind enough to join me once again on different terms is Alex Dono. He is the host of the Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast. Dono, by different terms, I mean, last time you and I spoke on this program, we did not feel good about the Hurricanes' chances getting into the college football playoff. As we speak tonight, the Hurricanes are in the college football playoff. So I say good evening to you, my friend.
Good evening. And it's amazing how quickly things can change. You know, even you go back to Sunday, I was not feeling good about Miami getting in. And it's I was overthinking it, Hollywood. I went to bed on Saturday night feeling pretty good because I knew that BYU had to lose, and they did. I was thinking that even Bama not just losing but getting blown out by Georgia, it might drop them. It didn't, but I thought that could help. So I went to bed on Saturday night feeling pretty good. Then I wake up on Sunday morning before that reveal show, and I start to look at the odds. And sometimes we feel like the sports books, they have inside information, because oftentimes they do. Not in this case, because the odds had Notre Dame as an absolute shoe-in to get in, and Miami was, you know, in the plus money, worse than even odds. So it was looking like Miami was not going to get in. And when I saw that U logo flash on the screen at number 10, and I saw Miami was going to the college football playoff, I just bounced out of my seat, and I started running around my house. I was so excited that it happened.
I was in pure agony, Dono, because I was coaching my son's basketball game, and I was able to watch the first about 20 minutes or so of that show, and they hadn't announced it yet. I had to put my phone away. I had to focus on the game, so I didn't find out till after. It was absolutely eating away at me, and I pulled my phone out right after. And I see I got a bunch of texts, and they were all good ones. So that's how I found out. But look, I'm not as surprised when Miami got in. I wasn't, to be honest, because it seemed to me, I don't know what you think, like it seemed to me that the national talking heads were starting to turn in favor of the Hurricanes. That's something that I can't ever remember seeing in the past. So people started to kind of jump on board. And I think the overall sentiment was Alabama does not deserve to get in. Now, here's the thing that's very unusual. You penalized, and we talked about this, you know, last week on the show as well. You penalized BYU for losing in their game to Texas Tech, ranked number 4. You didn't penalize Alabama for losing in their game to the number 3 team. Number 3 team, number 4 team. You could probably make a pretty similar comparison there to those two teams. So one, you dropped out completely. One, you let stay in. And Notre Dame, who got fired on their day off, just kind of sitting there, right? So it, to me, like to let Alabama in after getting crushed by another playoff team is irresponsible. But, you know, again, I'm not complaining, but if Notre Dame, and I am enjoying their crying tour right now that they're on right now. Oh, I have to say that I'm enjoying watching this. But with that being said, they did get screwed.
Well, and the reason why they got screwed was because the way that the committee built it up was, it was so reckless. Mm-hmm. So, because if you had just done one rankings reveal at the end of the season, and okay, you've got Miami in, who beat Notre Dame head to head, they have the same record, 4 common opponents. I don't think you would have or should have had the same outrage from Notre Dame people that, okay, yeah, you know, they beat us head to head. But the reason why you got the extra outrage was, and this is something that doesn't make sense to me either. The committee, I think they had 6 episodes of that, you know, it's basically reality TV where they reveal the standings, all that. Like they did 6 weeks of it. And not until the final episode of it did they have Miami ranked above Notre Dame, when the situation was the same for the whole time. They had identical records and Miami had the head to head. They didn't actually elevate Miami till the end. So, you know, Notre Dame, I guess they're outraged about a handful of things because that's kind of what they do up there. That's why we call them the crying Irish. But I think the most valid complaint that they have is, why did the committee string us along only to switch it up at the last minute? Because I would strongly argue, maybe not the Bama thing, but the Miami versus Notre Dame thing, I think they ultimately got it right, having Miami ranked ahead of Notre Dame. But the way that they got there was nonsensical.
Yeah, so, well, look, anyway, Miami comes out on top of the whole thing, right? They end up getting into the playoff, and now you're going to go on the road to play Texas A&M. And, you know, we're talking about this on the morning show because everyone's opting out of bowl games now. And I know that you do the, you know, Locked On ACC podcast, and you focus on the whole conference as well, Dono. I think you and I talked about this a little bit, too. Like, this could be the future of the small tier bowl games. And, you know, now they're out there fishing for 5 and 7 teams just to try to fill spots so that ESPN can fill, you know, the 2 o'clock, you know, to 5 o'clock window on a weekday with, you know, the sub, you know, the whatever bowl. Right. And we've seen now tons of teams already say we're done, Notre Dame included. I just don't know what the future of these games is, but man, the difference between them, you know, Miami accepting a bid to go to Jacksonville and getting sent to Texas A&M, it's just such a dramatic difference. And I don't know what you think, but these low-tier bowl games, I think, are going to have trouble in the future here existing.
I think the especially troubling part of it is what you mentioned. Like, it's not just players opting out anymore. Like, you've got, I think we're up to 11 teams, including Notre Dame. And, you know, Notre Dame's the one that gets the most coverage for opting out of a bowl because their situation, it looks like they're throwing a tantrum, right? But a lot of other teams have declined bowl invitations for varying reasons. Many of them, it's because they're in a head coaching transition. Some of them were these 5 and 7 teams that got called up as like the backup plans, and for whatever reason, they didn't want it. So it's a whole mess. Like, in terms of, it still seems like for right now, these bowl games are still making money, and the TV networks, mostly ESPN, are still making money from them. So I think we just kind of have to accept them for what they are. Like, they've really become exhibition games, you know, and this is kind of the way that I had to look at the last couple bowls that Miami were in, because, you know, last year against Iowa State, you know, a handful of important players opted out completely. You know, we didn't get to see Xavier Restrepo, for example. You know, we had Cam Ward only playing in one half, and had he played both halves, Miami would have won the game. The year before, you had a bunch of opt-outs. You had to start your third-string quarterback, Jakari Brown, at the time in the Pinstripe Bowl against Rutgers. So, like, I don't know, like, I guess the way that I look at it is, you know, I want to watch the young guys. You know, I want to see hopefully some of the future talent. Like, the highlight, one of the highlights from the Pop-Tart Bowl last year was, you know, watching JoJo Trader have a mm-hmm. big impact on the game. You know, Damian Martinez, who did opt in, had like a crazy game, a big, like, long 70, 80 yard touchdown run, and he got over 1,000 yards on the season. So I think you just kind of have to adjust your expectations, and it's certainly not, you know, I sound like an old man, get off my lawn, but it's not the bowl season that I remember, right? Because I think you and me are about the same age. You know, growing up, all of these games used to feel like they mattered, even the bowl games that were against, you know, a 7-5 versus a 6-6, because mm-hmm. opting out wasn't a thing. It was a foreign concept. Like, college football has changed so much, and I guess the consolation prize is at least – nobody opts out of the playoffs, and you've got, you know, a bigger playoff field. You got a bunch of opening round games. So, you know, I guess I could take or leave some of these bowl games, but I don't know what the solution would be. Like, cause you know, you don't want to necessarily penalize schools for players opting out. I know that there is like a clause in the college football playoff that they could technically, if you decline a bowl game 1 year, then they could technically, by their rules, keep you out of the college football playoff the following year because you declined a bowl bid. But I don't expect them to enforce that. Like, you really think they're going to, if Notre Dame's a top 10 team next year, do you think the CFP is going to be like, you know, because you refused the Pop-Tart Bowl, we're not letting you into the playoff? Like, they're not going to enforce that. But I don't know what the answer is, because, yeah. Because
that would be awesome. So never say never. Let's get back to the ACC as well. And Duke goes and wins this championship, right? Virginia, by the way, I mean, had it all in front of them. All you gotta do is go and beat Duke on a neutral field. Couldn't do that. So Duke wins the conference. I guess the result of that is you end up with two group of five teams ending up in the playoff with Tulane and James Madison. I know everyone is very upset about this. Dono, I happen to believe that one of those schools has to get into a playoff, right? Like, what are they playing for if there's not one spot out of 12 that's left for these, you know, these conferences to all compete over? So to me, that's kind of like, you know, you have to give the little guys a shot. And so I'm fine with getting one team in. Two seems to be stretching it a little bit. And we'll see. Like, I don't know if either of those teams are going to hold their own, but two might be a little too much. But I do believe that it is important that you let everyone at least have some sort of seat at the table.
Here's the only issue. I see your point, but I disagree. And I know that your point is more logical than mine, because I'm making college football more restrictive, which I understand if people don't want that. But like, I understand the way that they do it in college basketball when you've got a field of 68, like, you guarantee spots for mid-majors and stuff, but it's so different with that tournament being so big. And also, like, in college basketball, the little guys are just, you have one magical great shooting night. Like, we've seen 16 versus 1 upsets now. I feel like anything can happen, but, you know, but
you're calling those flukes now, those upsets?
I mean, I'm not, but I'm saying, like, it would be a lot flukier if James Madison beats Oregon or if Tulane beats Ole Miss. And by the way, they already played this year and Ole Miss blew them out. Like, that's actually a rematch from earlier this year. So I just, you know, honestly, when you've only got a 12 team field, and maybe it's going to mm-hmm. expand a little bigger in the future, 16, maybe whatever it is. But when you have a 12 team field, and, like, you've got, you know, James Madison and Tulane taking spots from Notre Dame and Vanderbilt and Texas and BYU, schools like that, who would just provide a much better playoff. So in my humble opinion, I just think with the gap between G5 and power conferences, maybe you do a separate G5 playoff to like try to, I know it's not the same thing as getting into the big dance, but then you also have a legit chance to win a championship. Like, hey, like maybe if you did like a G5 playoff, Tulane would actually be able to win a championship because they certainly don't have a chance to win a championship in this current field. So I kind of feel like maybe you do a separate tournament for the G5 because I just feel like they're teams that nobody wants to watch, and they're taking spots away from teams people do want to watch.
I know. I still think you got to give those guys a seat at the table. And I'm with you, by the way, on expanding this thing. Could expand it as the other problem though is even if you do expand it, the 17th, 18th, everyone's no matter what you do, right? Because we see with the basketball, someone's getting screwed. There's a first four out every single year, so someone's gonna get screwed. All right, Donna, one on Texas A&M here, and they obviously are going to be tough in their building. They beat Notre Dame. Remember that crazy game with Notre Dame where it was a dropped snap on an extra point. So they win that one. Their only loss is to Texas at the end of this thing here by 10. What have you seen from the work that you've done so far on this game, and what kind of chance do you give Miami?
Yeah, I think that this is really a tremendous matchup because both of these teams are two of the nation's best at the line of scrimmage. You know, Miami has like the highest graded defensive line in the country. Texas A&M is tied for first in sacks, and you know they've got a defensive end who's got 11.5 sacks on the season. They've got an excellent offensive line, but I don't think they've played a defensive line like Miami's. I think Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor have an opportunity to wreck their game plan a little bit. I think this is a matchup of two really good quarterbacks, different because Marcel Reed is more of a dual threat guy than Carson Beck. You know, both guys have had their ups and downs this year, and some tremendous receivers, right? I mean, you get a little worried about a couple of the top receivers with Texas A&M, including KC Concepcion, and Miami has like a version of KC and Malachi Toney. They're two very similar players. You know, I think for Miami to win this football game, first of all, the road environment is going to be really tough. I think you catch a little bit of a break that it's going to be an 11 a.m. local time game, so the crowd won't be quite as nuts as it would be if it was a night game. So that, you know, it's still going to be crazy, but I think Miami catches a little bit of a break there. But, you know, to try to exploit the soft part of Texas A&M's running defense, because the rushing defense kind of took a dip late in the year. They gave up 218 rushing yards against Texas. We know Miami likes to commit to running the football, to being physical up front. So there's going to be a lot for Gerard Pringle and Mark Fletcher and Marty Brown to try and get the running game going. Because, you know, how do you try to neutralize a pass rush when you've got Cassius Howell with his 11.5 sacks? You try to pull up, you know, third and shorts and don't have, you know, these third and long situations. So I think that's going to be really key for Miami. And it's a pretty close spread from what I saw. It's like 3.5-4 points Texas A&M is favored by, which I think tells you they're giving Miami respect. And I think Cristobal has built his team for games like this. Like, he's built his team to be really tough and physical up front. And I think Miami matches up really well with SEC teams in that regard.
And I think the other thing too is Miami has peaked at the right time, right? They had a good start to the season. There were some injuries. There was a little bit of a bump in the road in the middle of the season. But I don't think there's a team out there, maybe Indiana, that's playing better football than Miami right now. And I got to tell you, I know the Canes, they're big on 1-0. Right. That's, you know, their big thing. We don't have to do that because we're on the radio. We could look ahead. Ohio State is sitting there and waiting. And I just saw your eyes light up. I could only imagine what that matchup would be like for Canes fans to get a little shot at the Buckeyes here.
I think that would be interesting because Ohio State's offensive tackles, I think, are maybe a little bit more vulnerable than Texas A&M. So that might be an even better matchup for Miami's defensive line. We all know Jeremiah Smith, though, at receiver for Ohio State would be a nightmare matchup for anybody. And he would have the extra motivation against Miami being the hometown team. But yeah, man, I haven't forgotten about 2002. I haven't forgotten about Terry Porter throwing that flag 23 years later. You know, I know Miami and Ohio State have played a couple times over the years since in the regular season, but to get them in like a really meaningful game, a national quarterfinal, dude, you talk about getting Miami fans pumped. I hope they can get there and match up with the Buckeyes.
Well, I promised, Donna, when we do our broadcast on Saturday, you know, week from Saturday, we'll keep it 1-0. We won't look too far ahead. Alex will have our post game show. I'll be with Brian Monroe for countdown to kickoff. We'll get things going at 8 a.m. I got to tell you, man, I am just over the moon. I am thrilled that we get to do a playoff game. This is just so exciting. And I'm happy for everyone at the university. All those guys put in so much work, and you know, we just reap the benefits here, man. We get to do a playoff game, so that's pretty exciting.
Hey, man, it kind of feels like a dream come true, right? I don't mind, you know, missing an ACC championship game, getting to do a playoff game. Yeah, I'll take that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, this is on the level for me of the trip to the Final Four. This one's pretty cool. Yeah. So. Really looking forward to it. Miami and Texas A&M again right here on WQAM. We'll have wall-to-wall pregame, postgame, in-game. We'll have it all for you here on QAM. Dono, thank you for the time. As always, my friend, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Hollywood.
All right, that was Alex Dono, kind enough to join us here on Hurricane Hotline. That is going to do it for us. Just a reminder again, a week from Saturday, Miami and Texas A&M coming up right here on WQAM. It's a noon kick with an 8 a.m. countdown to kickoff. I am Hollywood. Thank you to Trevor for producing the show. Have a great night, everybody.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.